Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hey, hey besties, Monica Ferguson here, and welcome to World Domination. This is a safe space for absolute legends who are bold enough and brave enough to go within, to recreate their belief system, to aim high, to chase their wildest dreams and become everything that they are destined to be. This is a space for people who are serious about growth, about healing. We talk about all things mind, body, spirit, and we have the courage to go further than most people even dare to dream. Welcome, let's get into it. Hey, hey besties, welcome back to this week's episode of World Domination with our Scottish pal, Stephen Burns, Master Mindset Coach, and I am so excited to share this episode with you where we go into the fear of the unknown, how to deal with it, how to navigate it, practical tools and steps to keep you focused, things that you can do to set yourself up for success so that when hard stuff comes up, you're ready, you're prepared, you've got it. Enjoy this episode, and as usual, send us your aha moments, we would love to hear them. I do not want to waste any time because I want to absolutely pick your brain. So chuck that coffee back right now. I know it's early-ish for you and you're not a morning person. No pressure. You've got to solve everyone's problems in the next 27 minutes. And I am so eager to hear your thoughts on this. The fear of the unknown, because no one talks about this, right? It's so often we get the glossy, the highlights. We get the before and the after, and the boring middle, the hard bit, the bit that squeezes you and tests your patience and your resilience and your self-belief, it's kind of not very attractive and no one talks about it. So where do we begin with this?
It's a fantastic topic. I think it's one of these things, isn't it? You know, as human beings, we feel comfortable with the familiar, don't we? We like to get into routines. We like to do similar things over and over again because it makes us feel all nice and cozy and comfortable. But at the end of the day, we learn and grow from doing things differently, from stepping into the unknown. And also as human beings, we have to grow, don't we? Because if we don't, then we will be left behind. So what that means is that we have to almost like forcibly push ourselves into the unknown, even though it feels kind of scary, it feels kind of icky to do that. And what that means is, you know, we are left with this fear of stepping into these unfamiliar situations. But we have to do it because, like I said, if we don't, then we don't grow as a person. I don't know if you've heard there's a famous story about Albert Einstein when he said that he'd been asked by a local school to design a set of questions for an exam. And he went off and he designed a set of questions and he handed them back to the head of the school. And the head of the school took one look at them and said, "Mr. Einstein, these questions, they are exactly the same as they were last year." And he said, "Yes, yes, but the answers have changed." And I think that's a great story. I really love that because yeah. I think it just shows how, as human beings, you know, the answers are changing all the time. You know, what worked today might not work tomorrow. What worked yesterday might not work today. So we have to learn, we have to grow. And the way to do that is to step into the unknown. But of course, as I mentioned, the problem is it's a pretty scary place to be. So we have to be able to manage that.
Yeah, 100%. And it's like, I think there are just so many layers to it, right? Like if you getting the courage to even decide, like, I'm changing this, I'm doing this, I'm going after this goal, that's a big thing. But then, so you take this leap and then immediately all the resistance and all the opposition hits you. And I know for me, I was just looking around, like my mindset coach literally said to me at the time, "You just need to believe in yourself." And I'm like, I'm hyperventilating. My life has crumbled. I think that I'm going to live under a bridge. And you're telling me to believe in myself? I don't. Like, my nervous system was on fire. I had no tools. And I was just like, seriously? Like, this is the wisdom that's being handed out to people. Like, where are the skills? Like, what do we actually do? You know, because it's like, no wonder people bail on their dreams so quickly. Because it's so scary. Your nervous system does what it's there to do, protects you, keeps you safe. You have no tools, so of course you're just going to stay where you are.
Yeah, it's funny because I find that the belief usually comes at the end, usually comes after. Often when you do something new to begin with, when you step into the unknown, you don't believe in yourself at first because it's such an unfamiliar situation. Like you say, your brain, your body, it's a prehistoric thing. You're exploring the unknown territory. So there's going to be an element of fear. There's going to be an element of being uncomfortable. The self-belief comes from the doing. It comes later on. So I think it's more important to be comfortable doing stuff without believing in yourself. And I know that sounds like opposite advice, but I think it's absolutely bang on the money. Give you an example. So you know that one of the things I love to do is Latin dancing. You know, we talked about that just off air. How much you enjoy doing Latin dancing yourself, but or have enjoyed. And one of the things that I started doing was dance performances. So I joined a performance group just over a year ago. And so we did last year, we did a performance in Rome, we did one in Madrid, and a couple in Scotland. And the one we did in Rome, so this was the first international performance. And when we turned up, there was about 300 people, all seated, really high pressure environment. There was some world class dancers that were on before and after us. We're not world class dancers at all. We're decent amateur dancers, but that's about as far as it goes. And there was only two couples, so me, my dance partner, and Sonny and Viola, who are the other dance couple. And before it, you know, I was pretty nervous, but I was not too bad. I'd done some meditation, some various different things to get my mind right, but I still was pretty nervous. My dance partner was utterly terrified, and I could see it in her face. She looked like she was ready just to collapse in front of me. It was like, and I was starting to get a wee bit concerned. I was thinking, is she going to make this? 5 minutes before, she looked like she was going to burst into tears. And we got through it. We did it. If you want to see the performance, you check my Facebook page, by the way, Monica, if you want to see it. But and I've posted it there. And we did get through it. I think we did okay. And then afterwards, I was having a chat with my dance partner, and I was explaining to her some of the techniques I use just to try and keep myself a little bit calmer, even though I was still nervous. And she said, "Oh, so what you're doing is you're tricking your brain into feeling safe." And I said to her, "Well, I don't really see it that way. I actually see it the opposite way. I think you're tricking your brain into making yourself feel like you're totally unsafe, when the reality is, even though you're going to be doing a dance performance in front of like 300 people, you still are safe. Your brain's telling you're not safe. But at the end of the day, if you make a mistake, people aren't going to rush up from the crowd and start attacking you. A saber-toothed tiger is not going to appear from the side of the stage and maul you or anything like that. You are completely safe." So I think the trick is definitely, you absolutely are right. I think usually your brain and your body, you are responding to feeling as if you're unsafe. But really, when you get down to it, I think just asking yourself, am I unsafe here, or is this my brain just tricking me? And almost always, it's the latter. You know, you've convinced yourself that you're unsafe, when actually you're okay. You're just responding to some sort of age-old, prehistoric impulse where you get concerned about doing something different. And I think getting that piece, now again, the nerves don't go away completely, but they do reduce from like a gut-wrenching fear to actually just being a little bit nervous, and you can still actually go through with it.
Yeah, for sure. And something I've noticed too, and when I find myself in those sort of moments, is that I literally talk to myself like this is not real. Like this is a feeling. This is not the truth. And this is my past experiences being projected out. This isn't even actually happening. But like I literally sometimes, and sometimes it's minute to minute, right? When you're in the real squeeze, like I am at the moment, it's like, okay, I know I feel like this, but it's not real. Like it's just a feeling. And I've gone the opposite where I go, I like charge it instead of being like trying to pretend it's not there. I'll just sit with it and feel it, face it full on, like drain it of its power. But yeah, it's definitely got me thinking about how practically, like and how we move through this in a practical sense, the nervous system regulation, working with our subconscious mind, how we actually create that safety in our body so that we can sustain it. Especially so if your example with a performance, okay, yep, you can be nervous for a few hours, you do it and then you feel better. But when we're taking on big goals, big dreams, things that take a long time, things that take years to achieve, how do we create that sense of safety when we're constantly having to up level? There's constant change. We're constantly new versions of ourselves. There's all these unknown things. How do we stay present and focused in that unknown and not quit?
That's a really interesting question, actually. I think that there's quite a lot to that. I think there's quite a lot of layers to it. I think the way that I tend to do it, and I know where you're coming from here, especially as someone who runs their own business. You obviously run your own business as well. It's really exciting. It's really enjoyable, but at the same time, it can really put you into some difficult situations, especially when things aren't going right and you're obviously having to, pay the bills and all sorts of, you're taking on all the responsibility for yourself. So it can be a very difficult situation to be in. I think when you find yourself in these situations, hope is really, really important. Like having a vision for the future that you can hold on to. That's the thing that really, really gets you through. Because there's no getting away from it. Sometimes when we're going after really big goals, in fact, most of the time, they're not going to go the way that you want. So you're going to have to try and figure things out. You're going to have to deal with all of the emotional turmoil that can often come with that. So I think, really having that vision of where you're heading and how good you're going to feel when you get there is utterly, utterly crucial. And revisiting that vision frequently, not just doing it once and then putting it away in a drawer somewhere and hoping for the best, but actually, taking some time out your week, even if it's like two or three times a week, just going back over the vision and really stepping into how good you're going to feel once you've accomplished it. I think that's really important, because it can be so easy to get lost in the fear and the adrenaline and all of that stuff, and we end up using fear and adrenaline to motivate ourselves, and that's utterly exhausting. You're going to head towards burnout if you do that. So you need that more positive side of things just to balance it out. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that the fear goes away completely, but it does reduce it and it improves your relationship with the goal. So yeah, so I think it's getting down to those fundamentals where you think, okay, what is it I want to accomplish here? And when I do accomplish it, how good is that going to make me feel? How is that going to fulfill my most important values as a human being? Will it help me contribute? Will it help me create significant, differences in the world? And when you tap into that gives you so much fuel that, that reservoir almost never runs dry, but it also really helps overcome adversity as well. It helps you overcome challenge. So I think that's the way I tend to do it. I'm sure there's lots of ways to approach that, but I think fundamentally that has to be in place. What's your vision? Where are you heading? And how good are you going to feel when you get there?
Love it, love it. That's definitely a tool in my box as well. I love this, like vision boards and identity work. And that's, as we're both obsessed with the subconscious mind, I mean, that moves you forward, right? So it doesn't really matter. Like when your vision is locked in, it doesn't matter the day-to-day stuff. When you have big stuff come up and it's really hard and it freaks you out, and you think, oh my God, I've ruined my life and I'm gonna, go and move under a bridge next to Monica. Like, which we're not, by the way, we're not living under bridges, anyone here. But when it feels like that, it's like you can actually move through it quickly, right? Because inevitably you bounce back. Like that fear will burn itself out, and then you come back to the truth. And because we've taken the time to lay the groundwork of this is who I am, this is my life, we visualize it, we go there every day in our mind. It's like inevitably you come back to that. You don't really stay in that like insane, like freak out place for that long, I've found.
Absolutely, and I think as well it can be useful to examine our beliefs as well. We've talked a bit about beliefs in the past, and I love exploring beliefs. I think it's a real passion of mine. I know that sounds like a really dull hobby. People play tennis, they go climbing mountains. I like to study beliefs. There you go. But I
Same,
think
same. The cancer thing,
I think
obviously.
yeah, exactly. Everybody has to have their thing, and I think it's really useful because, and I think the best time to explore your beliefs is when everything is just falling to pieces. The best time to explore your beliefs is when these things come up. When you get that sense of fear, ultimately it is a part of you that's calling out that wants to be heard. So I think actually when you do feel that fear, nowadays I tend to approach it as an opportunity. It's an opportunity to create some sort of really big release. The fact that you're feeling that intense fear means that something on the inside wants to be healed. It wants to be addressed. So I always use that as an opportunity and go, okay, so what is it I believe about this situation that's actually causing the fear? I love that question. Sometimes you have to ask it quite a few times to get to get a proper answer. You can even do it in meditation if you want, if you and you get the real sort of the real intuitive answers. And then, just examine it. And then if you do know a little bit, like I do a lot of NLP and hypnotherapy, if you do know a bit about that, you can then start to move beyond those beliefs. One of the things I found a few years ago, it's something I still work on as well, is when it comes to things like fear of the unknown, fear of failure, they're all pretty much in the same kind of category. Is it's perfectly natural to have a bit of that, but where it gets that extra oomph is usually because we've linked the fear with our self-worth. So we start believing that if I don't succeed here, or if things do completely collapse, then that means I'm not good enough as a person. And these are all subconscious things, right? That we don't consciously choose to believe those, but we've just picked them up through childhood and they've just become stuck in the background. And I think if you can disconnect the two, then that makes such a massive difference. If or disconnect as much as you can. If you appreciate that if things do go to pot, if they do just completely collapse, then it's not an indication of you as an individual. It's not an indication of your self-worth or how good enough you are. It's simply just a learning experience. And I think if you can disconnect it and look at it that way, it really does help lower the intensity. Again, doesn't necessarily get rid of it completely, but that's natural to feel some of that. But it does make a massive difference for sure.
Massive difference. I love this so much. Like the meaning that we assign to stuff, I geek out on this all the time. And I talk about it in other episodes as well, this belief stuff, because it changes your whole life, though. I mean, this is what's led us to even meeting in the first place, We're both massive nerds. Cool nerds, though. That's all good. But yeah, this self-worth thing was such a game changer for me because I tied everything, all of my results into what, like my identity and yeah, my level of worthiness. And everyone does this, right? Until you become aware of it. And I had, do you know Wayne Dyer? Have you heard of him?
The late Wayne Dyer, he's sadly no longer with us,
I
isn't he?
know.
He's passed away a few years ago,
I love him so much. He
yeah.
used to talk about the ego all the time, and he used to talk about how the ego says that we are what we do, what we have, and what other people think about us. And it's so true because it's like we're taught, we're conditioned. Like we have to do this, this, and this in order to be valuable, worthy, the same as everyone else. Firstly, who wants to be the same as everyone else? Look around. Like, but yeah, I love this. I love this so much. Like the doing that deep work, right? The self-worth work. Before we hit the fear as well. And I just want to recap like as we go so that people are following along because there are some really like potent points in here. So one is that vision, right? Knowing where you're going, why you're going there, being so connected to it every day, checking in, knowing your direction. And then the second one is like the self-worth stuff and disconnecting your achievements from your value as a human being. And the third one, because there's like juicy things just dropping out, and I don't want anyone to miss them. You talked about beliefs and the gold that is to be found in these hard moments. And this, again, life-changing when you realize that when these hard things come up, it's not because we've failed. It's literally a part of us that's trying to release so we can achieve our goal, right? So instead of being like, oh my God, I'm such a failure. I'm so useless. I'm weak. Obviously, everyone was right about me and I can't do it. It's like, oh no, there's actually something in here. There's a part of me that doesn't feel safe. There's a story I'm telling myself that's not true. A part of me that's afraid to be seen or successful or doesn't feel good enough or whatever. And then you change it and your whole life changes. And it's like, it's actually so simple. I mean, it's hard, but it's simple, right?
I think that's a brilliant way to describe it. These things always appear complex, they always appear hard, but when you actually get down to it, when you sift through all the story and the theories that we add on to our problems, they're actually quite simple, really. I'm not saying it's easy to solve them, but on paper, they are actually fairly simple. And I think, I guess just to add to your great summary there, I think at the end of the day, everything is a learning experience. And I think if we can approach life in that way, then a lot of fear of the unknown tends to disappear as well. There's a famous, very cliched example of Thomas Edison, who failed to invent the light bulb 2,774 times and he was asked, how did he feel that the fact that he failed again? And he said, well, he says, no, I've not failed to make the to create the light bulb. I've only discovered 2,774 ways to not invent the light bulb. And I really like this story because it just shows that when you're going after big, ambitious goals, especially when you look at people who are really, really successful and do accomplish these things, it's not that they have a good relationship with failure or a good relationship with just going into the unknown. They don't have a concept of failure at all. It's like they just see everything as a learning experience. And I think when you make that shift, fear of the unknown becomes a lot more comfortable because you see the whole thing as a learning experience and you're heading somewhere exciting. It's not about falling flat on your face and not being able to achieve something. It's just about discovery. It's just about learning.
Yeah. Well, seeing it as feedback, right?
Seeing as feedback, exactly. Yeah, 100%.
I love that. And I mean, just to kind of expand on that, like the way that I think about stuff now is that life is a mirror. So when those things come up and it's like, okay, what is this reflecting back to me? Okay, I'm stuck. There's something that's like, I keep hitting in brick walls in this specific area. What's going on within me that's creating this? And there's so much power in that. And I think that it was actually through a lot of doing your courses that a lot of this clicked for me, where it was like the power of the subconscious mind in terms of its desire to keep me safe. And I used to assign so much meaning to that I was hitting brick walls because there was a part of me that didn't feel safe, but I would go, I'm a failure. See, I'm not good enough. See, everyone was right about me. See, I'm insane for having these big dreams. And then when I realized, oh shit, actually, this is linked to 20 million traumatic things that happened to me, and my mind is actually loving me so much, it's trying to protect me, I can actually forgive myself because I haven't done anything wrong. And then that voice becomes like self-compassion. How can I support myself more? How can I believe in myself more? And then I think when you have that foundation, when you have like hard things happen, it's easier to be kind to yourself, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think as soon as we have like an issue, if we start feeling fear, especially when we step into the unknown, we often see that as self-sabotage. And we think, oh, this is a part of my mind that's messing me up. It doesn't want me to succeed. But what you said there, you really described that beautifully. It's actually a part that has huge compassion, that's huge love for you. It just wants the best. Now, it might be a little bit confused because of the past experiences that you've had. It might be looking at things in a slightly distorted way, but the energy behind it is really positive. It's loving, it's caring, it's compassionate. So I think when you make that shift, it's really important, isn't it? That you actually, that's when a lot of the self conflicts dissolve naturally and almost instantly as well, because you appreciate that this is just a part of you that's after something good.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, how different we are with our friends or our loved ones versus ourselves, especially in the beginning, right? When you don't have awareness. Like, if it was our friend that came to us with this situation, we would be so compassionate. And to us, we're like, you're useless. Like, and all this sort of garbage. And it's like, why do we do that? But then, just to plug out, previous episodes, like on mindfulness and meditation, it's like self-awareness. Like, we need to have it if we're going to actually be able to come to all of these realizations. Like, how do you learn to be kind to yourself if you don't even take time to reflect on the own voice in your head? Like, you need to do that.
You need to be brave enough. It's funny you met your example there because I had a client a few years ago that said that if she talked to other people how she talks to herself inside her head, then she would most likely get arrested. Which I think is excuse me, but which I think is really funny because we do we often we are our own harshest critics, especially when we step into the unknown. And I think speak to yourself the way that you speak to your friends. Why wouldn't you? We often don't, but at the end of the day, I think we should extend that same compassion, that same love that we have for the special people in our life to ourselves. I mean, why wouldn't you do that? It's that whole principle of self-love.
Love this. Okay, so let's get practical because I like to give people practical stuff. Let's say I was trying to think, is there an actual example that I could give on the down low? Let's say someone comes to you, a client, they want to book in with you, And they're like, I'm freaking out because I, you know, went all in on publishing my book and the deal fell through and I don't know how I'm going to survive and all my money's gone and my husband left me and I don't know what I'm doing. I'm freaking out. What do I do right now? What would you say? Where would you begin?
Just a nice small example. I like that one.
Yeah. Well, it's extreme though, because it's like, I want, because the people that listen to this are visionaries, they're big thinkers. And so I want them to have big tools, you know, like big resources. Yeah.
Well, this might not sound like a big tool, but I think it is a big tool. And that is that when you're in a crisis like that, I think, and that's I guess you could call that it's a psychological crisis, but it's potentially a financial crisis as well. If they've gone all in on something, it can be very easy to lose your head. So whenever we make decisions from a place of crisis, of chaos, those decisions rarely work out. I don't know if you've noticed that when you make decisions when you're in a really bad mental state, they almost always lead to terrible outcomes. Sometimes you might get lucky, but most of the time they don't. So the first step is you've got to just acknowledge what's going on, first of all, and then you disconnect. And whatever you need to do just to disconnect from it, it could be going to meditate, it could be just going for a walk, something very, very simple. It could even just be doing some deep breathing, something that causes you to be removed from the situation, because it's very difficult to think clearly when you're in the throes of some sort of, you know, chaotic situation like that. So you want to disconnect. There's a thing from NLP where you do something called dissociation, where inside your mind you look on as if you're looking on from the perspective of a neutral observer, and that gives you objectivity. And from that place, you can then start to actually go, okay, what is going on here? And you get a much higher quality of information than if you were attempting to solve the problem from within it. If you're in the box of the problem, then it's very, very difficult to solve it. But if you disconnect first, acknowledge, disconnect, and then look on from that observer's perspective, you can then start to get some quality insights. So that can lead on to the next step, and that's where you explore. So you then explore from that place of being disconnected, that place of objectivity. And then once you explore, you look for potential solutions. And then one of the things I like to then do is I like to then project. So I say, okay, so now that I've got these potential solutions from that place of objectivity, what am I now going to do differently in the future? And that's when you start to make your actions, what you're going to be doing next. And the problem is people tend to try and make those actions when they're freaking the heck out. And that's a really bad thing to do. So I really like that. The acronym I use there is called ADEP. So ADEP. So A, acknowledge. D, disconnect. E, explore. Look on from that objective perspective. And then P, project into the future. What are you going to now do differently? So I've always got that in my mind whenever I find myself in a difficult situation, and they do definitely happen. I've got a reasonable amount of stability, but I've had some, you know, maybe on a future episode I can explain some of the catastrophes that I've managed to find myself in, both in business and in life. But that's the thing that's always got me out of it, is that ADEP thing. Don't make decisions from a place of chaos. Make sure you acknowledge, disconnect, explore, and then project, then start to come up with solutions. So if you keep those four letters in mind, I think usually that's the best way forward with it.
And that is a wrap. Thank you for showing up for yourself, for being here, and please let me know your aha moments. I want to hear all about them. For extra support, make sure you're following me on TikTok and Instagram @TheMonicaFerguson. Check out the School of Greatness for self-study courses. And of course, if you want one-on-one mentoring, just DM me and I would love to have a chat with you. Go and slay the day. Thank you for being you. See you soon.